It will not be a lamb who is returning. The lion is returning, the lion of Judah, who will defend Israel and destroy the forces of evil.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. This evening's message in our current series of messages on the book of Revelation is by Pastor Brian Grant. And this evening, Pastor Grant will lead us in the study of scriptures relating to and including the momentous events described in the latter chapters of the Revelation, the Battle of Armageddon, Satan's final doom, and the millennial reign of Christ. We invite you to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Grant brings the first part of this message, Earth's Coming Utopia. Here is Pastor Grant.
A boxer was in a championship fight and was getting hammered. By the end of the second round, his opponent had opened up cuts on his face. But you know, at the end of the round, when he went to his corner and they were working on him, his manager said to him, "Tiger, you're doing great. He hasn't even laid a glove on you." Well, by the end of the fourth round, his nose was broken and the cuts were opened up. And as he went to his corner, the manager told him once again, "Tiger, he hasn't even touched you yet. He hasn't even laid a glove on you." Well, by the end of the fifth round, he staggered back to his corner, and he was like a fountain of blood. And he sat there, they worked on him, and as the bell rang for round number six, his manager said to him, "Go get him, Tiger! He hasn't even laid a glove on you!" The boxer said to his manager, yelled to his manager, he said, "Well, you better keep an eye on the referee because somebody in the ring is beating the tar out of me." And you know, although our political leaders try to reassure us about the greatness of America, it seems that somebody is beating the tar out of us. For all is not well in America. Murders are happening at unprecedented levels, and rage continues unabated. Am I the only one that's noticing that almost every night you turn on the news, some other person has been killed? Am I the only one who's noticing this? Am I the only one that's noticing that rage is out of control? Right here, just nearby here in Pennsylvania, a few weeks ago, a man was cut off by another driver, and some of you heard the story. He followed him to Wawa, and when the guy was getting his cup of coffee, he shot and killed him, and then he killed himself. America, it almost seems like we're living in the wild, wild west. But my friends, better days are coming. For my Bible tells me that there is a day coming when the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and Jesus Christ is going to reign. Listen good. Jesus Christ is going to actually reign on planet Earth. Oh, you might not have heard that before, but Jesus is coming and he's going to reign right here on earth. And when that happens, there will be unprecedented peace on earth. Now, don't shut off now, because you got to listen to the whole message or you may leave here with the wrong impression. Listen, there will be peace on earth. And so today I want to speak to you on the topic, Earth's Coming Utopia. For when Jesus reigns on earth, listen, it's going to be almost a perfect environment. Now, I have to put the word almost, because there ain't nothing perfect coming till we get to heaven, amen? But it's going to be an almost perfect environment. But before that can happen, Satan, the enemy of our souls, must be dealt with. Satan, the instigator of sin. Now, don't blame Satan only because of our sin nature. We love sin. Oh, am I right about that? We love sin. Well, you may be here and you are unsaved and you think you're the only one who loves sin. Listen, something in us, because of Adam's fall, we all are sinners. The Bible says we all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And as a result, we all sin. But Satan knows exactly how to press our button and to get us to sin. And listen, before peace can come on earth, Satan has to be dealt with. And this morning, I'm going to tell you exactly what God intends to do about Satan. This morning, I want to talk about three things. Stay with me now. I want to talk about three things. First, we're going to talk about the Battle of Armageddon, because that's part one. Some of you have heard Armageddon, and we want to talk about that this morning. The Battle of Armageddon, that's part one of God's plan to deal with Satan. Number two, I want to talk about Satan's final doom. And third, we're going to talk about the millennial reign of Christ, when Jesus comes to actually reign on earth. We're going to cover a lot of ground, so you better stay awake and have your pen and your pencil ready. The first thing we want to talk about is the Battle of Armageddon. Now, for those of you who are here for the first time, there are inserts in your bulletin with notes that makes it very easy to follow, so you can go home and go over the message again and have it solidify in your heart. Last week, Dr. Thomas emphasized that Israel will be a key player in the end times. And during the Great Tribulation, the Battle of the Ages, Armageddon, will be fought on Israeli soil. Take your Bible and let's look for a verse first in Revelation 16. Our primary text is Revelation 19. We're going to cover some other scriptures this morning before we get to Revelation 19. But let's look at Revelation chapter 16. And I want to read from verse 12 to 16 so you can see we're not making this up. Revelation chapter 16, verse 12 to 16. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth. Remember, we told you that Revelation is apocalyptic literature. It uses a lot of figures and signs and symbols to communicate what God is trying to say. And so we say, I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go to the kings of the earth. This is very important now. They go to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The kings of the earth are going to be gathered to a great battle. Verse 15, Jesus is speaking. Those of you who have red letter Bibles, you'll notice that this is now in red. Verse number 15, Jesus says, "Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame." And verse 16 says, "And they gather them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon." Armageddon comes from the Hebrew word, which means Mount Megiddo, the hill country near Megiddo, about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. Some of us have been there on some of our travels to Israel. It's reference to Mount Megiddo, that whole section of Israel, about 60 miles north of Jerusalem. And it's interesting that already in history, over 200 battles have already been fought there. And during the Great Tribulation, it will be the epicenter of the Battle of Armageddon. So you can put this in your notes, write this down. The Battle of Armageddon is a military campaign in which the armies of the Antichrist will seek to destroy Israel, but will be destroyed by God, bringing the Great Tribulation to an end. Listen, the armies will surround Israel and try to wipe them out. You know, in case you don't know this, Satan hates Israel. That's why during the Holocaust, Satan inspired Hitler and his cohorts to brutally exterminate about 6 million Jews. Well, some of us have been to some of these concentration camps to see the atrocities that were done to these Jews. 6 million Jews wiped out. And I want you to know, my friend, that things have started to change again. The tide against Israel is changing once again. On our visits to Europe, we have observed that many European nations are pulling back on their support for Israel. But the speech that really shocked me, I must be honest to you, was not a speech from one of the countries that I knew were negative towards Israel. It was a speech made by one of the British members of parliament as he declared his constituency a Jewish-free zone. I wrote this down because I figured it would become helpful one day, and lo and behold, it's helpful right now. Here is what he said. I could not believe it. He said, "We don't want Jewish products in our stores. We don't want Jewish consultants in our universities. We don't want Jewish investors. And we don't want any Jewish tourists visiting this area." And I said, it is amazing you can say that and get away with it. You just think. You couldn't say that about a lot of other groups. You couldn't say we don't want any. Let's be honest, folks. I'm a black man. But if you had said, we don't want no black folks here, it would have been war, right? If you had said, we don't want any Muslims here. If you had said, we don't want any. There are other groups I could have mentioned, but I leave that out. But you can say, we don't want any Jews here, and get away with it. Listen, the tide is turning against Israel. Satan hates Israel. Oh, by the way, in case you don't know, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, he hates us as well, because we are special to God. One day we are the bride of Christ, amen. But he hates Israel because Zechariah chapter 2 verse 8 indicates that Israel is the apple of God's eyes. And since Satan hates God, he'll do everything to destroy Israel, since they are the apple of God's eyes. Listen, the hatred of the world, the fact that the world is turning against Israel is not accidental. Listen, put this down in your notes. During Armageddon, the armies of the world will unite to destroy Israel. It's not just going to be Germany trying to kill the Jews. The armies of the world will unite to destroy Israel. I'm going to invite you, because I want you to see some of these things in your own Bible, the book of Zechariah. I want you to turn there with me. And Zechariah is the second to last book in the Old Testament. So if you find the Gospel of Matthew and you go back a few pages, you'll be right there in Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. And I just want to read that. And here's what Zechariah 14 verse number 1 tells us. It says, "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem." Listen, way back in the Old Testament, this was prophesied as to exactly what was going to happen. We have seen the book of Revelation tells us in Revelation 16, it tells us what was going to happen, that all the nations would be gathered at Armageddon. And here in Zechariah chapter 14, the prophet tells, under the inspiration of God, "I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, the women raped. Half of the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city." Listen, Listen, this is what is referred to as the time of Jacob's trouble. God is going to allow Israel to suffer. And part of the reason why God is going to allow Israel to suffer is because of their disobedience and because of their rejection of their own Messiah. Part of Israel's problem is that God is going to allow them to suffer because of their sin. I want to talk to somebody this morning who says, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but if you think it's okay to keep sinning, I just want you to know that just because you're on your way to heaven does not mean that God is not going to beat you thoroughly. God never, ever puts up with sin. And listen, he's going to deal with his own people, the apple of his eye. He's going to allow them to suffer and to be judged. And he will allow us to suffer even though he loves us and has saved us. But listen, the women will be raped. The people will be captured. Tons of people will be killed. But at Israel's darkest hour, something dramatic will happen. For write this down, the Lord will return to the Mount of Olives to deliver Israel. The Lord will return to the Mount of Olives to deliver Israel. Amen. Here's what Zechariah 14, as we continue reading there in Zechariah 14. Here's what it tells us. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against. Listen, so at the darkest hour, it says the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations that have surrounded Israel as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making it a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half of it toward the south. My brother and sister, you know, one of the things that excites me is how consistent the Word of God is. Listen, if you ever doubted that the Bible is true, you read the Bible from cover to cover and you'll be blown away by its consistency. Because this prophecy in the book of Zechariah was written more than 400 years before Jesus Christ arrived on the scene. And here it prophesies that there is a day coming in the future when Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross and ascended to heaven, that he's going to actually return to earth and his foot is going to come on the land of the Mount of Olives and the mountain is going to divide in two. And it is amazing that in Acts of the Apostles chapter 1, somewhere around verse number 9, as Jesus is leaving earth, where does he leave from? He leaves from the Mount of Olives, and the angels say to his disciples as they stood staring into heaven as Jesus was ascending, the angels said to them, you men of Galilee, why are you standing gazing into heaven? This same Jesus that is going up into heaven is coming again just as he left. Listen, Jesus is coming again and he's going to land exactly where he left. He's going to land on the Mount of Olives, and the book of Zechariah says when he comes back to earth, the mountain is going to split in two. Man, it ain't going to be any little simple day. What a day that's going to be when Jesus returns. Listen, the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 1, somewhere about verse 7 or verse 9, it says, when he comes back on the Mount of Olives, every single eye shall see him. Listen, I don't know exactly what God is going to do to make that happen. What I do know is that we have the technology right now for that to happen, because everybody or everybody's neighbor has a cell phone, and right now we have the technology. When I was a little kid, I wondered how in the world it was going to happen. How could everybody see when Jesus comes? But can you imagine Jesus comes and the mountain just splits in two? Can you imagine how that is going to circle the globe in no time? He's coming back. And I'm so glad that when he comes, as we'll be talking about in a moment, listen, by then the church will be with him. Listen, when he comes back, we're going to come back with him too. We'll talk about that. But here's the third thing you need to write down. The Lord will come with great power along with his church. The Lord will come with great power along with his church. Oh, I hope you're following me, because we're covering a whole lot of ground, and I'm doing my best to make it as simple and as clear as I can, and I trust the Spirit of God will help you to understand what's going on here. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 11. Let's read from verse 11 to 16. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head was many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, reminding us of what happened at the cross of Calvary. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations. And he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Nowhere else in the Bible do we find Jesus described with such might and power. In his first coming, he was a lamb who was sacrificed for our sin. But in his second coming, he will be the conquering Lion of Judah. It will not be a lamb who is returning. The Lion is returning. The Lion of Judah, who will defend Israel and destroy the forces of evil. But who is this army in white? It says, who is this army in fine linen? Mentioned in verse 14. Look at verse number 6 of the same chapter. Look at verse 6 of chapter 19. And here's what the Bible says in verse 6. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of his lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Anybody know who is going to be the bride at this marriage? Who is the bride at this marriage of the Lamb? Do you know who that is? That's those of us who are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. It's talking about the church. Those of us who have been blood bought. One day, listen, we are going to be united with the Lord Jesus Christ. We shall be one, hallelujah, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll say a little more about that as we come, but the wife has made herself ready. Oh, we probably will get a chance to talk about that in about 2 or 3 weeks. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Listen, the army that is following him in fine linen is none other than the church of Jesus Christ, who was raptured. 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about the rapture of the church, when Jesus comes and snatches us from this world, but we will be with the Lord forever. Amen. It tells us that forever we shall be with the Lord. There's going to be the marriage supper in heaven, hallelujah, but then we're going to come back with him as the tribulation winds down and Jesus comes to deal with Satan and his forces who have surrounded Israel to wipe them from the face of this earth. The King of Kings will come riding with his army, hallelujah. But fourth, the satanic, write this down, the satanic triumvirate and their armies will be defeated. Sometimes I've said the satanic trinity. I'm going to stop saying satanic trinity, because the trinity has a special meaning. Listen, this is a satanic triumvirate and they're going to be defeated. Revelation chapter 19, verse number 17 reads as follows. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, etc. And I saw the beast, verse 19, the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him who sat on the horse and against the army. Then the beast was captured. The beast is the Antichrist. You remember we learned that last week. The beast was captured, that's the Antichrist. And the second beast was the false prophet. They were both captured, who worked signs in his presence by which he deceived those who received the mark of the beast. And then it said, these two were cast alive in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And all the rest of the people were killed with a sword, which proceeded from the mouth of him who sat on the horse. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. As the Lord Jesus returns to earth, accompanied by his church, the Antichrist and his forces who have surrounded Israel will make attempts to destroy the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine that?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ or if this program was a blessing, it would be of great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.